Scott Phoebe on Over to You. HCR.
Okay, it's 13 minutes past seven. I'm joined now by Chris Target. Hello, Chris. Good evening.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for coming along. Now, Chris, just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're involved with.
Well, I'm a local doctor. I've been working at Hinchinbrook and Papworth Hospitals for the last couple of years. And I've decided to take a year off out of my normal job to do a 21 and, well, probably 22,000 mile solo unsupported round the world motorcycle trip to raise money for MagPass, our local air ambulance charity, and Riders for Health, a motorcycle medicine charity in Africa.
Okay, and this is Tiggers Travels. This is the name of the trip or the charity,
well, yes.
Is that right?
Well, it's a travel, and my nickname's Tigger from when I was a schoolboy.
I see. So you're doing this solo, or are you going with anyone else?
Nope, just me.
Just you on your own?
Yeah, well, I wanted to make it as daring and dangerous as I was prepared to be.
Okay.
And obviously, if people, it's a recession, people are going to cough up a couple of quid out their hard-earned pay packet to sponsor me, hopefully. I wanted to make sure I was doing something impressive for them.
Now, tell us a bit more about the trip itself. Whereabouts are you going to be going?
Well, I start off from the Helimedics base in... I'm not entirely sure where it is. I think it's at Wittering.
Is it Wittering, is it?
Yeah. Okay. And then blast across Europe, across North Africa. So I'll be going through Libya. Hopefully the things would have calmed down a little by then. Then all down the east coast of Africa. So through Northern Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Malawi, Mozambique, all the way down to Cape Town. And then some lovely people are flying me over to Nepal, hopefully. Then through the Himalayas in North India,
right,
through Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, and back through Europe.
That sounds quite... in terms of organisation, getting visas and permission to travel through some of these countries, is that a problem?
To say the least. I'm waiting till... Most of the visas you can't apply for before 3 months, so I've got this daunting task ahead of me. And I think I'm going to be wandering around posh streets in London for a number of weeks trying to get it sorted out.
Various embassies. I imagine Iran and certainly Libya, I would imagine it's quite difficult to get permission to travel through.
I have no idea how I'm going to get the visa for Iran, but you cross your fingers, you hope, and you'll figure it out somehow. Iran helps that there's an awful lot of doctors from overseas here, and I've managed to contact some of them who have friends and family over there, and I've had a couple of offers of people to sponsor me or invite me there.
Yeah.
So that helps, hopefully. I don't know, I haven't got my visa yet, so I'll touch wood.
So you've got quite a lot to do. When's this planned?
Well, I should be leaving in January, and I think it'll take me somewhere between six, probably 7 months.
7 months, really?
And that's rushing it a bit, but I can't really afford to go for any longer than that.
Right, and in terms of provisions and physically carrying, are you going to be camping overnight by the side of the road, or how does it work?
Well, not quite on the road, but as out of eyeshot, if at all possible.
Yeah.
But no, I'm doing everything myself, so I can't afford hotels. I'll be camping, so...
What about food?
I'll eat what the locals eat.
So you just grab stuff along the way.
Absolutely. I'm going to have a few dehydrated meals for emergencies when I get stuck at a border for a few days, which is bound to happen. But apart from that, I'll play it by ear. That's the point of it being an adventure. If I knew where I was going to be every night, where would be the fun?
Well, indeed, it certainly sounds like an adventure. What about what bike are you going to be using?
Oh, I've bought a KTM 990 Adventure, so it's a big touring bike.
And what about spares and tyres and things like that? You're just going to try and make repairs along the route if you can?
Well, I'm still hoping, if you're out there, Mr. KTM, that you'll get your worldwide service people to lend me a hand. But there are actually KTM service centres around the world. I know there's one in Nairobi in Kenya, which is a planned tyre change spot.
Right.
A lot of the engineer, the mechanics, I will hopefully be able to do myself. I mean, I've done all the modifications on the bike. I changed a tyre for the first time the other week, which was the single hardest physical thing I can.
And then do you have to set up the bike for different terrains? Desert terrain, for example.
Yeah.
Himalayas, I would imagine, is very different from riding through the desert in Sudan.
Very much so. You can alter the suspension, which I've done, and I can tweak it as I'm going around, but no, mostly it'll be that your riding technique, which I don't know if I've actually got a riding technique for going through the Himalayas or Sudan at the moment, but I reckon I'll learn pretty quick.
I think you're going to have to. So what made you do it, Chris?
Oh, well, I love biking.
Yeah.
And ever since I was a medical student in London, the idea's been cooking in the back of my head, and unfortunately this is the first time I've been able to do it. I wish I could have done it when I was a bit younger.
How old are you, Chris?
33.
33.
So, no, not all my time's gone, but now's my one chance. I'm at a good point in my career where I can take a year or two off.
Yeah.
And if I don't do it now, I'll probably have kids and mortgages and stuff, with none of which I have at the moment. So I think this is probably the do or die time. I've got to do it.
Well, it sounds an absolutely amazing adventure, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. We'll talk a little bit more, but I believe you wanted a record played.
Oh, yeah, if you can. I'm a big Billy Joel fan, and on my aimless meanderings around the country trying to find work at the moment, I've just bought his Greatest Hits album, and I've fallen in love with Piano Man, so if you'd be so kind.
No problem at all. This is for you, Chris.
This is Huntingdon Community Radio, 104 FM.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. A regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin. Not really sure how it goes, but it's sad and it's sweet, and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes. La 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 la. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for a melody, and you've got us feeling all right. Now John at the bar is a friend of mine. Gets me my drinks for free, and he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. He says, Bill, I believe this is killing me, as a smile ran away from his face. Well, I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place. Time for a wife, and he's talking with David, who's still in the Navy and probably will be for life. Manager gives me a smile, 'cause he
he knows that it's me they've been coming to see, to forget about life for a while. And the piano, it sounds like a carnival, and the microphone smells like a beer, and they sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, man, what are you doing here? Oh, la 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 di di da, la la di di da da da. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song.
Speaking to Chris Target. Welcome back, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Chris was telling us about this marvellous adventure that he's going on there. He's riding his bike around the world, effectively, starting from January. We talked a little bit about the modifications to the bike. What about the other equipment that you need to take? I mean, you're going to be going through extremes of temperature, so clothing or, I don't know, what else, water, camelbacks and all this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I'm sort of trying to plan as much as I can, but you've got a very finite space and as much weight that you can stick on the bike. Otherwise, yeah, I'll be going around the world on one wheel. I've got my sleeping bag goes down to minus 17 degrees, and you know, the right sort of tent that covers me and the bike.
Yeah,
keep us out of eye shot. And stoves that will work anywhere and run on anything. That way, I can at least have a cup of tea.
Yeah, That's what you'll miss the most, I guess, will it? You need a decent cup of tea.
Well, cup of tea and a glass of gold white wine, maybe. No, I'm actually taking a box of Yorkshire Gold tea bags with me for emergencies. So assuming I can find a yak to milk, I'll be all right for my breakfast.
And we talked about the trip itself, but we were just chatting while the record was on. Now, you're raising money for Magpass, which is a very worthy cause. It's Magpass, and there was another charity you mentioned.
Riders for Health. They provide logistics for motorcycles and keep them running, so healthcare workers can get to remote villages in Africa, because a lot of them out there are completely inaccessible.
Right.
And so I'm lucky that I'll be popping in and visiting some of their projects whilst I'm en route.
And are you splitting the money evenly between the two charities?
Yes.
Okay, now tell us about the fundraising and how that's going and what you're aiming to do, because you were saying that every penny you raise goes to Magpass and all the worthy causes.
Absolutely. Any cost that the trip has incurred, so for example, business cards, flyers, posters, because I do bike shows and I'm going to be at Serpentine Green in a couple of weekends time up in Peterborough, trying to raise monies and beg a few pennies out of people. But all of that costs I'm covering.
Okay.
And so every penny that's donated goes straight to the charities. It's sort of something that I'd done inadvertently, but was brought to my attention when I was at a bike show in Lincoln a couple of weekends ago, when someone said, oh, I'm not giving money, I know that it all goes just on the organising of the charity. And actually it occurred to me that, incidentally, we'd done it so that 100% of what individuals give. I'm rather hoping that a few far-sighted companies will see the potential in promotion of sponsoring us as corporate sponsors.
Well, that would be fantastic, and certainly if there's any large companies out there, we'll give contact details later on. But I was thinking the likes of Go Outdoors or something. I mean, if anyone's got any nice equipment that they can donate to you, then
everything is gratefully received.
Yeah, sure, of course. Now, just what sort of sum are you looking to raise then, Chris?
Well, I plumped on a nice big round sum of $100,000. I don't know if I was in my right mind when I chose that, but you've got to have something to aim for. Always aim high, and that way you're used to the disappointment.
Of course. Now, is it early days? So let me just get the... Because you actually quit your job, didn't you?
Yeah.
A few months ago to get this thing off the ground, so to speak. And I guess a lot of your time now is spent trying to raise money, going to various events, knocking on doors, speaking to potential corporate donors and that kind of stuff. Yeah?
Absolutely. Well, but I've also got to earn enough money to not only pay for my rent now, but pay for my rent whilst I'm away. So I'm kind of doing about three jobs at once at the moment.
Right.
I work practically every day, and then I do the trip stuff every day. as well. I used to have taking out the junk about 2 or 3 emails a day. I now have easily 50
wow.
or 60 a day, just trying to get the awareness out there and encourage people to see the amount of promotion work that we're doing. I mean, we've been doing quite well so far. We've been in a lot of local papers. And we're assured by one of our charities that they'll have will be on the TV as well, and various other things. So it's getting there. We're just looking for a little bit more corporate sponsorship, because I reckon the petrol costs are going to set me back about £5,000.
Right.
So I'm hoping that if we could help cover that, then we'll be well on our way to trying to raise the £100,000.
Well, it certainly would be worthwhile. As I say, Magpass is a charity that I'm particularly fond of, I have to say. It saves a lot of lives in the area, so it's certainly worthwhile.
Well, it saved my girlfriend's life.
Really?
And she's not my mother-in-law yet, but my potential one-day mother-in-law. They were in an accident, and both of their lives were saved by Magpass. So
really?
Once I knew that, then there was no question as to who I wanted to raise the money for.
Sure, that's a very worthy cause. Now, what other events have you got lined up between now and when you set off? You mentioned one or two earlier on.
Oh, well, I'm at, obviously...
Serpentine Green, I think you said.
Yes, I'm up at the shopping centre up in Peterborough in a couple of weekends' time. I'm at the Cop Doc Bike, Classic Bike Show.
So are you taking your bike with you?
Oh, yes.
Right, so you'll be outside Hampton Court, or whatever it is, Hampton, Serpentine Green, with your bike. So if anyone's listening and they're going there, then chuck a few coins in the bucket.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can come along. You can come and sit on Sir Humphrey. That's Sir Humphrey Bikleby is the name of my KTM. And he'll be there fully loaded.
I love that. So British, going around the world on a bike called Sir Humphrey Bikleby.
Well, I've got to have someone to talk to. I've got... Being my nickname's Tigger, so I've got a little Tigger that's mounted. I've created a mount that swivels around on my handlebar. So I've got a little Tigger that sits there, talks to me, in those darker days when I haven't seen anyone for weeks going through the desert. And, the bike's kind of got a personality of his own. So,
is there any training that you have to do? I mean, physical training? You have to get yourself fit and so on?
Well, I'm working on it. The basic premise is that the more pies I eat, the more prepared I'll be.
So you're bulking up. That's
exactly. You know, there might be a few days when I'm not going to eat. So, no, I'm trying to get in shape simply because...
That'll put the fuel costs up there. If you
exactly. So, no, I am undertaking some basic training. I think a lot of it, whatever you do, you're still going to be aching from head to foot for the first couple of weeks until you get used to it.
Sure.
If you undertake anyone who goes on a long bike ride, you find that you just ache for the first 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen whatever I do.
I mean, I should imagine you don't get much time to go to the gym or whatever with everything else, you know, with 3 jobs that you're holding down. So
yeah. Well, no, but I'll try. I've got a little, what do you call them? Ergo thing at home.
Cross
so
trainer or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my relaxing. I get to watch a bit of telly whilst I try to get fit and, answer some emails at the same time.
Chris, listen, I mean, us on HCRFM wish you a lot of luck, and we hope that you raise an awful lot of money for those worthy causes. Before you go, just let us know how people can donate if they wish to. And we were talking earlier on about Just Giving, but Just Giving, I didn't know this, but you're telling me that if you donate through justgiving.com, then they take a 5% commission, which I didn't realise.
I think it's around 5%. There's a number of charities who, a number of voluntary organisations who run these websites now, but I'm with my charity page.
Okay.
But you can, all you need to know is to look at my website, because it's all on there.
Ah.
And that's www.tiggerstravels.org, and there you can contact me. You can see a lot more information about the route. It's all on there from Google Maps. You can click on a link and donate directly online, and you can see some of the links of the wonderful people who've donated kit and some sponsorship for the trip so far. And so please do have a look, and have a look at them as well.
Is someone going to be updating that website during the course of the
Sam,
trip?
Sam, my wonderful partner, is going to be on the end of the phone. So I'm hoping that if I can arrange a sat phone, that I'll be able to phone back every
And then she can
day.
Track your progress on the website.
Absolutely, and keep my mum's heart rate down. And the website will be updated hopefully with pictures and comment every 2 or 3 days.
Brilliant. Okay, well, listen, we wish you all the luck in the world. Just give us that website again, Chris.
That's www.tiggerstravels.org. All one word, Tiggers okay. Travels.
Tiggerstravels.org. T-I-G-G-E-R-S. That's lovely. T-I-G-G-E-R-S. T-I-G-G-E-R-S. Tiggerstravels.org. All right, Chris, maybe you can come on the radio when you get back. So what would that be, about this time next year? Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe, and tell us how it went.
I'd be delighted to. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Phoebe on Over to You. HCR.